Hard to believe, but the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast is on the air again. The podcast camouflaged as a nature documentary. His kids are looking for a really cheap nursing home just in case. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. It is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast again. It just keeps coming back like a bad penny. I've never seen a bad penny. I've never seen one I would turn down, that's for sure. Anyway, this is Doug Jones, as my Canadian nephew Drew McMillan probably just told you. I haven't heard what he had to say yet, but I'm hoping it's complimentary and that it adds to your enjoyment of this podcast episode. We are here to help you feel good about the transition from Obamacare to Medicare. And for that reason, I wrote a book called Medicare for the Lazy Man. Kind of a coincidence that the podcast has the same name, doesn't it? Anyway, we offer that book for sale on Amazon.com. And to those who don't want to deal with Amazon, we offer it for sale on BarnesandNoble.com. You can get a paperback, you can get a Kindle version, you can get a hardcover version for the first time ever. And they tell me they're preparing the audio version. Right now, they have last year's version up as the audio book, and people are still buying it, but it's I would suggest that they wait until Amazon gets its poop together and releases the 2022 version of the audiobook. If you want to just read it and not have me read it to you, then you get the either of the three types of actual books, and they'll send them to you pronto. Although they tell me the hardcover version takes like 3 weeks to get. I don't know why that would be, but you know, something you'll value it that much more when it finally arrives. So we often at this time in the podcast talk about the 30-second radio spot that Randy and I cooked up a couple of years ago. And we played that thing on Chicago radio. We played it on Phoenix radio. And now we're playing it for you. So I'm going to shut up and let Randy do his thing.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
All righty. Never loses its luster as far as I'm concerned. Randy, how are things going for you today? It's a big Easter weekend we just finished up with.
Did you have a good time? Oh my gosh, I did have a great time. I got Easter eggs. I am full of Easter eggs right up to my ears. I don't know what else to say about it, but
oh boy, I've never liked hard boiled eggs, but the chocolate ones, I never pass those up.
Well, I actually like hard boiled eggs. I don't really like finding them in the yard. The one thing I hated, and this, I may be the only kid left in the world, you know, when I was a kid, but you know, those Easter eggs, they're like long and colorful, and then you bite into them, they've got a hard shell, and then there's this white crap in the middle.
Yeah, I remember that. Ugh.
I hated those things.
Yeah, I'm kind of a candy snob. I'm not a gourmand when it comes to the weird candies of the world.
Yeah, I think ultimately I like chocolate. And so yeah, anything, I don't care if it's like a chocolate bunny, a chocolate egg, a chocolate anything, I'll eat it.
Well, I'm going to irritate some of the audience here, but I like chocolate. I love chocolate if it's good chocolate. And I love peanut butter. Don't ever mix those suckers up. For me, just keep them apart and I will be a happy camper. But there are people who apparently enjoy mixing them up and I don't understand it.
Well, you're going to probably disagree with this point, but this is kind of a historical thing. You probably already know this, but what was one of Elvis Presley's favorite snacks?
Oh, yeah. Bananas and cream or something. Bananas and cream. That would be almost normal. No, bananas and something weird, and I can't remember the weird part.
It was peanut butter banana sandwiches.
Yeah.
And I thought that sounded like a disgusting combination.
Absolutely.
Up until about, okay, I'm almost, what, 853 years old now? Well, about three weeks ago, I said, okay, I'm going to test this out. I mean, my whole life, I'd be good. Oh, that's got to be terrible. Uh-huh. Okay, I'm going to test this thing out. So I opened up a banana. I put just a little dab of peanut butter on the end of it, and I ate it, and it wasn't that bad. Now, I don't think I want to make a sandwich out
of it. That's not glowing praise. I was expecting to hear glowing praise. It was wonderful, but no, not that bad.
It wasn't that bad. I didn't want to heave at the end of it.
Okay. Well, you've just brought thoughts to mind. This is what half of our podcast content is random free association. But over the weekend, I was contacted by a guy that I went to high school with. Actually, I met him in 1960, and he and I were in junior high and high school all the way up to 1966 when we went our separate ways, and I haven't exchanged one syllable with him since. And so he contacted me and said, is this the same Doug Jones I went to high school with? And I said, yes, I am. And then I proceeded to tell him what I thought of him, because we had a falling out in junior high. And I am still carrying a grudge because I think he was very weird. And he said, I have nothing but fond memories of you. And I said, well, that's because I'm a likable guy. Leave me alone and never contact me again. So having had that thought fresh in my mind brings me to this other thought about the bananas and the peanut butter. Okay, no bananas in this story, but my mother raised me on a sandwich that's going to make people equally either gag or be inspired. And it's peanut butter and mayonnaise with some lettuce in the sandwich.
Oh my gosh, that sounds terrible.
It does sound terrible. And I ate that same sandwich every day all the way through high school. And I ate with the same bunch of guys pretty much every year all the way through high school. So every day there was a guy named Bob Cruising. Different guy. He's not the guy who contacted me over the weekend. But this guy, I haven't seen or heard from him since we graduated from high school. But Bob Cruising made fun of that sandwich unmercifully for years. I mean, 4 years of eating lunch with this guy, and pretty much towards the end of our senior year, he said, look, you know, I've watched you eat that crap. I've watched you, scarf them down, and you never seem to be dissatisfied. You seem to like them. There's got to be more to this than I'm understanding. And so he said, if you give me a bite, I'll try it. So I peeled off like half of one of my sandwiches and gave it to him. He took a big bite and chewed and swallowed. I'm waiting to get more, you know, verbal abuse from the guy. He said, holy crap, that is not bad at all. That is actually very good.
And really?
That's the last real conversation Bob Cruising and I ever had, was that he realized after 4 years of being disgusted by my lunch choice, he actually liked it.
Well, I'm going to try that.
Not mayonnaise, Miracle Whip is what I use.
Miracle Whip, okay. Yeah.
And crunchy peanut butter, like, you know, Skippy is probably what's available now. I used to use Peter Pan, or my mother did.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I don't know, I have to say this, but my mother rarely ever made my lunch. It was always, we had cooks that made my lunch. And so you had to train the cook. Put these two things together, you know, no, that's terrible. Whatever language they spoke. You know, oh, God, no. He likes
you know
it.
You know what I thought you were going to say when you were going down the peanut butter route? I thought you were going to tell me that you liked Fluffernutters.
Oh, God, no, that thought disgusts me. That involves marshmallows and peanut butter, doesn't it?
Marshmallow cream on peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah, I did like marshmallows when we went skating. Our neighbors had a big pond, and they had a big jukebox connected to a huge loudspeaker, and they had a flagpole, and they would raise a red flag if the ice wasn't thick enough to skate on, or a blue flag if the ice was safe to skate on. And they always had a big bonfire going with big oak logs burning in it and everything, and cooking marshmallows and eating those slimy, gooey things was actually enjoyable as a part of the ice skating milieu, as it were.
I am now drawing a blank in terms of there's, you know, the kind of the, the over a fire concept.
Uh-huh.
Grand crackers. Hershey chocolate.
S'mores.
Yeah. I hated those things.
Well, I never even had those. I'm that much older than you. They didn't exist when I was cooking marshmallows.
They taste good, but I'm such a, I don't know, what should I say? OCD about some things. Yeah. I can't stand it when I bite into one end of something and it all drains out the other.
Well, I don't blame you. That seems pretty disgusting. I never really examined them much because I like the pure concept of cooking a marshmallow over a fire, letting it get kind of black, and then it tastes pretty good. But there's a place that I've been taken near Palm Springs by our friends in La Quinta, California, where that's a part of your restaurant dessert. You eat a meal in the restaurant, and then you go out and they have fires out in the courtyard.
Oh, cool.
And you cook. Yeah, but they include the chocolate and the melty, gooey stuff and everything. And I would just go for a marshmallow if I'm going to do that.
You just went for the marshmallow.
And then I discovered there's a place just like that west of St. Charles, Illinois, out in the country near Wasco. And the same thing applies. They provide the eaten materials and the sticks, and you construct your own gooey, sloppy, disgusting looking dessert. You know, people cool. can't just be satisfied with a marshmallow that they roast over the fire. It's got to be chocolatey and runny and gooey and
smashed in between two graham crackers.
Yeah, that's just weird. People cut it out, will you please?
Yeah, let's stay a little bit closer to normal.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've been going along good here for 10 minutes or so. So we probably better do some Medicare Already. Stuff.
I've got a stack of stuff here. I sent you two checklists today describing precisely what we're going to talk about.
Yes. And you said we're going to do some house cleaning. That's what you said.
Yeah. So I didn't do a lot of preparation, but I've got some things that are half taken care of that I want to finish up. One thing was I mentioned a few episodes ago that I had to, when I came back from Illinois at the beginning of February, I had a case of walking pneumonia mixed up with COVID, which was pretty darn cool. And I went over to our local brand new 8-bed hospital and they treated me. They said, "Now you're stupid for telling us what you have. We'll be the judges of what you have. We'll tell you what you have." Then they came in and apologized and said, "You were right all along. You have walking pneumonia and COVID." So they gave me a bunch of drugs and I came home, took some naps for a couple of days and eventually started feeling normal again. However, I mentioned during one of our previous episodes that I got a letter from them indicating that there was a problem with my insurance coverage. And I thought, well, this would be a learning experience because I have so many clients and they're always going to come up with oddball situations and ask me for advice and guidance. So I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. So I called up the hospital. They said they're open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. So I called about 5 o'clock at night and of course got the recording that they were closed. And I thought, this is a hell of a way to run a hospital. So I finally got a hold of them a couple of days later during business hours. And I got a guy and he said, "Well, what's your patient number?" Obviously we all have numbers. And what was the date of service and blah, blah, blah. And it turned out, since I have a Blue Cross Blue Shield Medicare supplement, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, they read Blue Cross Blue Shield on my 8.5 by 11 photocopy of all my Medicare and my ID and all that stuff I handed to them. They read Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona. That's what was going through their little pea brains in the billing department. And so they told the Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona that they owed some money for my medical treatment. And Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona said, "We never heard of them. Jones, we don't have any Joneses in our files." And so I wound up spending a half an hour on the phone trying to straighten it out with a clerk. So
that's an unusual name, Jones. We don't have any of those.
You know, if they had pronounced it Honez, I could understand the confusion. But anyway, so that was the cause of the mistake. And I listened to one of the older episodes and realized that I had not actually concluded that story. So their mistaking of which of the many Blue Cross Blue Shield companies there are in the world was, and I'm thinking that they might have the same misapprehension that a lot of people do. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois is completely unrelated to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and it's completely unrelated to Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arkansas or any. There are four Blue Cross Blue Shields in Oklahoma, or excuse me, in New York, and they're all competitors of each other. And there are two of them in California. In California, it's Blue Cross of California and Blue Shield of California. And those two are vicious, vicious competitors. So these Blue Cross Blue Shield organizations around the country do not share a common database. If you're insured by one, you're not insured by any of the others. You can't use their list of doctors. If you need a list of doctors, you know, if you have a PPO or something like that, they are not related. They're independent businesses. The only thing that ties them together is their names are similar, and they all belong to the same association. There's an association of Blue Cross Blue Shield companies. And that association is pretty powerful because it advises them as to how to conduct their business. They don't have to take their advice, but and the chairman of the board of that association used to be a neighbor of mine years ago when I was a kid, and it never occurred to me to suck up to him. You know, hey, how about a job, buddy? I should have done that earlier in my life. So anyway, that's the thing. Blue Cross Blue Shield, not related to the other ones in other states. Okay, now we started a long time ago an article describing the, let me look at the headline here, the difference between Medicare Advantage plans and Medicare supplement plans. It says why Medicare Advantage plans are bad. That's the headline. So this is going to be our third and final episode addressing the information contained in this particular article. Randy's described it as a 52-page article. I think that might have been a bit of an exaggeration, but it's taken us three episodes for me to plow through this thing. So let me finish it up. And every time I think I should throw it away now because it's not germane to our discussion, I scan ahead and by golly, it draws me right back in. So the section I'm starting to read now from this article, and it is, I should tell you when the article was published. It was last December. So just a few months ago. Pros and cons of Medicare Advantage plans versus original Medicare. Now, when they say original Medicare, they're talking about Medicare Part A and Part B. And I think the assumption is that you would also have a Medicare supplement to fill in the holes of Medicare Part A and Part B, the things they don't cover. What happens when you have a Medicare Advantage plan is they take away Medicare Part A and Part B, and they replace it with your Medicare Advantage plan that you've foolishly told the insurance company that you would like to be covered by. So the headline here is pros and cons of Medicare Advantage plans versus original Medicare. In addition to the fact that Medicare Advantage insurance carriers are generally obligated to sell you a plan, they do have to take all comers. They can't ask a bunch of questions like Medicare supplements do. Why is that? Because Medicare supplements are superior coverage, and therefore they're pickier. So Medicare Advantage plans also bundle additional benefits such as vision, dental, and hearing, and a prescription drug plan, Part D. These are valuable benefits that original Medicare does not cover. For healthy people, these extras make a Medicare Advantage plan a very good deal. I disagree, and I'm hoping that they tell you exactly why I might disagree with that coming up soon. Many of the extra benefits that some insurance plans offer look very enticing, but they often come with limits or high out-of-pocket costs. That's it. When they tell you they've got dental, it's going to be often dental that you're not going to be happy with. When they tell you they have vision or hearing coverage, very often it's going to be vision or hearing coverage that is inferior and not the kind of thing that you would be happy with. So, for example, a plan may have an excellent healthcare benefit, low copays, but a poor Part D drug plan, i.e., your meds are not covered in the lower tiers being the ones that don't have a deductible or coinsurance applied. Your drugs might all be in the higher tiers where you've got a big deductible and big coinsurance. Also, it is important to understand the extra benefits, including Part D prescriptions, are not included in the plan's maximum out-of-pocket limit. So let's say you use the plan's dental coverage and you have to pay $1,500 in copays for restoration work because the dental plan was crappy. Well, that $1,500 is not included in your maximum out-of-pocket limit, nor are your Part D medications. This is why so many people feel that traditional Medicare plus a supplement plan, plus a freestanding dental plan, and a standalone Medicare Part D plan are ideal options that Medicare beneficiaries can use to get prescription drug coverage. Part D plans provide cost sharing on covered medications in four different phases: deductible, initial coverage, coverage gap, and catastrophic. Are the best way to go. What I would say here, and instead of this gobbledygook, is that what I do for my clients is they give me a list of their prescriptions. They give me a list of the pharmacies at which they want to fill their prescriptions. And that could include mail order as well. And then I plug that information into a government website, and I am able to tell them which plan is the best one for my client. And by best, I mean which one is likely to use the pharmacies that you have selected, that you've told me are your favorite pharmacies, and which one is going to be the lowest out-of-pocket cost. And in most areas of the country, they're between 22 and, you know, maybe up to 28 or 29 prescription drug plans. And so they're all, you can line all of them up by your out-of-pocket cost and pick the one that is the least expensive and enroll in that one and keep it for a year. Then we can do the process all over again. So if you've read this far, you're probably wondering which Medicare Advantage plan is the best. Is it Humana? Is it ARP? Is it Aetna? Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Cigna, WellCare, or Kaiser? It's easy to answer the question, what is the best Medicare supplement insurance plan? It's Plan F. It offers the most coverage. Now, I don't answer it that way because Plan F is also hugely expensive and not available to a lot of people because of their age. Only oldsters can get Plan F, and the price is going sky high. In fact, many people holding Plan F that might be in our listening audience ought to give some thought to calling me and switching to a lesser costly plan like a Plan G. So the article goes on to say, we wish the answer was as clear cut with Medicare Advantage, but it's not. And here's why. When you combine all of the standard Medicare Advantage plans, employer plans, and special needs plans, there are literally over 70,000 plan options. It's a truly staggering number. The good news is that all of those plans are organized across nearly 2,800 U.S. counties. Why? Because most plans use local provider networks, making county boundaries the most logical way to organize private health insurance. To find the best private health insurance for you, you can use a Plan Finder tool, and it'll show you all the plans in your specific area, their rating, their star rating, their premiums, their copayments, copays. That's a set dollar amount that you are required to pay for a particular service, and the extra benefits too. If you have both Medicare and Medicaid, use the Special Needs Plan Finder. Plus, every plan has a free PDF document you can download with the basic cost and coverage information. Okay, it's starting to sound like a lot of work for me. Those Medicare Advantage plans do not make it easy to compare because there are so many variables. Randy's shaking his head. I thought he had whiplash, but he's pontificating with in a silent mode over there. He's saying, nope, not for me. That is not for me. So another headline here, what are the worst Medicare Advantage plans? All of them?
Let me name the ways. Oh, let's see. All of them, anything beginning from A to Z.
That's right. They're likely to disappoint you. If they look good on paper when you buy them, you're likely to wind up being disappointed somewhere down the road. And sorry that you actually bought that. So the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, this is the government agency that can't figure out how to properly spell its own acronym. They do an excellent job of weeding out bad Medicare Advantage plans. So this article says, I disagree. Subpar plans are given a year to clean up their act, and then CMS sanctions them. So what's a bad plan? Generally, plans get sanctioned for bad customer service, poor performance, managing chronic health conditions, a bad track record keeping members healthy, as measured by screenings, tests, vaccines, et cetera, and a poor member experience with the drug plan, if drug plans are included. All of these measures are graded by CMS annually and more. You can check out the 10 grades a health plan receives on a page later in the publication. Beyond the five-star grade, you must look at how a plan will cover you. By this, we mean that the out-of-pocket cost you will be charged by the plan when you use healthcare services. A four- or five-star plan can be fantastic for one member and the worst for a bunch of other members. It all depends on your total cost. You must do the research, run the numbers based on how you expect to use the plan's benefits. Only then will you know if the plan you're choosing is a winner or a loser. Then it goes on to talk about Medicare Advantage enrollment. Unlike supplemental Medicare insurance, you cannot enroll in Medicare Advantage year around. There are specific enrollment periods known as, there are enrollment periods. There are designated time periods to enroll or disenroll from the various parts of Medicare. There are six Medicare enrollment periods for enrolling in an Advantage plan. The same is true if you want to switch plans. For most people, there are two dates to remember. The first is your initial coverage election period. This occurs when you are first eligible for Medicare, generally on your 65th birthday or 24 months after you first qualify for Social Security disability income. Your ICEP is a seven-month window of time that begins 3 months prior to your birth month and ends 3 months after your birth month. The second date is the annual election period in the fall, which starts October 15th and ends December 7th. Those are the times when you can pick and choose the plan for you. And if you're smart, it's going to be a Medicare supplement plan. Eligibility for the initial coverage election period, we've just covered that. Pretty much at age 65. And to wrap all of this up, the Medicare annual election period is Medicare open enrollment that people call it. And it's a period during which a person may enroll in or change their selection of health plan benefits. Now, because it's a very top level type of coverage, a very desirable type of coverage, this does not apply to Medicare supplement plans. You can't just have an open enrollment and walk into Medicare supplement plans at will. It's this open enrollment thing that you hear about every year, especially when you have people like Joe Namath waving their little dinosaur arms in front of the camera and telling you how great Medicare Advantage plans are. That only applies to moving from one Medicare Advantage plan to another. Typically, in most states, most of the time, if you're going to move from a Medicare Advantage plan, if you've seen the light, and you want to get a Medicare supplement plan and return to Medicare Parts A and B, then that is a little harder to do, takes a little more timing and finesse, and that's what people like me specialize in helping people do. So if your desire is to get out of your crappy-doo-doo Medicare Advantage plan and switch to Medicare and a Medicare supplement, then contact me and I'll be happy to help you figure out how to do it. So that's it for me, Randy. That's one major 52-page article down the drain.
As I used to call it, 52 weeks to Medicare bliss.
Yeah. Well, I used to call it 52 pickup because my parents would fling the cards all over the living room and, all right, kids, pick them up. And for some reason, it was entertaining.
I really enjoyed that article, with exception of all the information about the Medicare disadvantage plans.
I think they're trying to be fair, because the headline, the major title of the article was, "Why Are They Bad? Here Are Many Reasons Why They Are Bad." But they kind of wandered away from their initial thrust.
They started out good. Yep. And they kind of wandered away, as you say, from the major concept of getting the point across to the folks that you want to stay away from a Medicare Advantage plan, like staying away from poison ivy in the woods.
A 10-foot pole would not be long enough.
That's right.
To keep that plan away. And in fact, if you want to read about the various reasons why Medicare Advantage plans could disappoint you, to say the least, you can read Medicare for the Lazy Man. I think it's chapter 8. has a list of the reasons that Medicare Advantage plans are not likely to be satisfying.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you. I should mention, there's a couple things I always mention at the end of our podcast to basically, you know, kind of close the loop. Doug is an insurance agent. Okay. He's a great author and he's a great podcaster, but don't forget that Doug also sells insurance. He's been selling insurance since there was insurance. He's an expert, especially on Medicare. And don't forget to send him some information or some questions. He always loves it. He runs down to the mailbox every morning with this grin on his face, hoping for email. And it just some days doesn't come.
If you want to save the cost of a stamp, you could actually go to MedicareForTheLazyMan.com and accomplish the same thing. Just scroll down a little ways. You'll see a couple of buttons. Click on those buttons, answer a few questions, and zoom, here they come headed to me.
And Doug literally 8 hours a day sits at his desk waiting for that to happen.
Okay, now you're making me sound a little weird. So anyway, I am always happy when it happens. I get several of the questionnaires from the website every week, and I always love to jump on those with both feet, tell people what my suggested products would be and how much they would cost. And very often those people say, wow, I didn't realize that such a deal could be had. And they often become valued clients. So that's my favorite thing to do.
That's exactly right. Well, given the fact that we need to close up shop here, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Maybe next time. We had one topic we were going to spend a little time on today, but we probably need to wait that for next time. We were going to add some new names and new terms not to use in real estate advertising.
Oh, boy. I don't see any reason to poke that bear with a stick.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, every one of you. We're looking forward to seeing you next time. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, and the guy that you really need to buy some Medicare supplement plans from.
Bye-bye.